Open in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I have a short meditation or thoughts tonight on Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Our great God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our true hope, our true refuge, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And we thank you for your word, which leads us and directs us to him. We thank you for your Spirit who speaks to us, opens the word up for us to understand and to live by. We thank you for the peace and security and hope that you grant to us by your word and Spirit. And we pray, Lord God, this evening that as we consider your word and as we consider all the troubles and travails of life, Lord, that you would cause us by the power of your Spirit through the leading of your word to rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us hope and peace this evening, and use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, when you find yourself troubled or stressed or disturbed in life, facing the travails of life, where do you go to find a place of relief or escape? What do you find to be a refuge for you whenever life really begins to press in on you? I mean, maybe some of you like to go to the beach, hundreds of miles away, to bask in the sun. Now, maybe it's to go on a Caribbean cruise, or maybe an Alaskan cruise, just to get away from it all. Or maybe you like to head into the deepest parts of the woods, away from all civilization, anybody that you could possibly run across. Perhaps it's spending time at home with your family. Or maybe it's escaping to your room for a little alone time away from your family, a little bit of a refuge there. Maybe you like to get lost in a book. Possibly it's binging on your favorite TV show on Netflix or playing hours and hours of video games or whatever it may be. There's lots and lots of places and things people go and do. I would do all of those things at different times in my life. I particularly like to go camping in the fall. I like reading and studying theology and God's Word, especially in my refrigerator-like office downstairs where it's nice and cool on these hot summer days. I like spending time with my wife and kids, and I even like building bathrooms in my basement. This is ways I refresh myself and escape from the duties of life. But I remember a time in particular, back whenever I was in seminary, quite a few years ago. It was after morning worship on the Lord's Day that some family members invited us over to their home. They were celebrating a birthday party, and so we went over to spend the afternoon and have lunch with them there. But one of the difficult parts of that situation is that everyone there was an unbeliever. And they were the unbeliever of sorts who had absolutely no fear of God in their lives. And it was actually a very difficult time for my wife and I to be there. Our souls were troubled being there. We were tormented in heart and soul being there. And when we left, we arrived at our congregation in the evening for evening worship. And I remember walking into the building, sitting down in the pews, and just, what relief. How sweet it was to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. And we gave hearty thanks to God that night because we could be with Him and with His people. It was a sweet place of refuge and rest for us that day. Well, that's not the first time a believer expressed thankfulness to the Lord for something like this. Over and over again in the Scriptures, we see God's people in some form of distress, one form or another, and yet God provides and sustains them, and they give thanks to the Lord as a result of that. And in our text tonight, we see David experiencing the travails of life. Enemies had mounted up against him, surrounding him even at one point. And yet God provides a refuge. And this leads David to praise and thank the Lord. And that's really my hope for you this evening. As we consider God's word here, you will give thanks to the Lord for the refuge He provides. You will give thanks to the Lord for the refuge He provides. Well, one of the first things that David clues us into here in the first three verses is the reality that the enemies of the believer torment the people of God. The enemies of the believer are the ones who bring distress and anxiety and travail into the life of the believer. And we see that in the first three verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. There's a lot of confidence here in David, but listen to the other words that he uses. These enemies, they are going to eat up my flesh. They're encamped around me. They assail me. This was a bad situation for David, a difficult point in his life. Calvin, when he comments on this text, thinks that this is after the Lord delivered him that he writes this psalm. He can give thanks to the Lord because He did deliver him. And so David's praising God for the deliverance he subsequently received. Despite his expressions of faith here, David identifies his enemies' assaults against him. David faces the travails and pains of life, enemies that caused him sorrow, pain, and suffering. And this is not just a one-time event in David's life. This was just not a one-time event or an isolated event in Scripture either. Since the fall, God's people have been at war. Ever since God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, your seed and her seed," when He spoke that curse to the serpent, God's people have had enemies in this world. And you see that conflict over and over and over again throughout the Scriptures from beginning to end. Cain kills Abel. The righteous soul of Lot is tormented day by day in Sodom, Peter tells us. Job is afflicted by Satan himself and receives no comfort from his friends. Dinah is violated by the wicked in this world. Joseph is tempted and pressed to sin by Potiphar's wife. God's people are oppressed in Egypt. And even when they're set free, they're harried by enemies all the way to the promised land. And even when they're settled and prosperous in the land, the faithful have to endure the continual degradation of society during the time of the judges, and even during the united and divided kingdoms. God's faithful prophets are scorned, rejected, killed. God's people, again, are brought into captivity. Daniel and his friends are pressed, tempted, tried many times, and on it goes, even to the coming of Jesus Christ himself. When the Son of God himself came to those whom he had made, yet he's despised and rejected by men. put to death on a Roman cross. And the same story goes for the saints of the New Testament, even on to our present day. There's conflict between God's people and God's enemies. And we see it all in our own lives as well. You experience the troubles and pain and suffering of life in this world from the enemies of God. Even if we're not talking about physical enemies in the world who are actually persecuting the church, Christians have enemies in this world. We all wrestle with the three great enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world tempts us to find rest and contentment and security in the things of this world, things that are passing away, instead of in the eternal things of God. The flesh drives us to pursue our passions as the source of pleasure and satisfaction and comfort, instead of delighting in the Lord. And the devil tempts us to sin, and he calls into question what God has said, what we believe about him, what he said about us as his children. And we experience the curse, the effects of that curse, as our bodies grow old and decay. Yes, we know these enemies well. We deal with them every single day. And while David expresses faith in the Lord's deliverance here from these things, and we're encouraged to do likewise by the reminders that the Lord is light and salvation in verse 1, and our enemies will ultimately stumble in verse 2, there's still a desire for comfort in the presence of the Lord. Look at what he goes on to say in verses 4 and 5. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And so despite the difficulty that David faces, he finds comfort and security and peace and refuge in the Lord's house, in the presence of the Lord himself. Not only would he find physical safety in the presence of God from his enemies, but he also delights in the experience of God's worship. He delights in the security of the consistency of that worship. He delights in hearing anew the promises of God made to him. He enjoys the community of believers and the way in which loving and caring relationships exist in the household of faith. These things are a shelter to him, a covering, a solid rock on which to stand, a place of safety in the day of trouble. And friends, is this not what the church is? Is this not what the church is? A place of comfort, security, peace, a refuge. The church is the refuge of God. It's the caring arms of Christ himself. The church is the place which provides a Christ-infused, Holy Spirit-infused community where loving and caring relationships exist, a refuge from the world that's living in enmity with his Creator and his redeemed. The church is the place where families are supported and encouraged to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, a bulwark against the secular philosophies and psychologies of our day. The consistency of the doctrine and worship of the church, founded upon the solid rock of God's word, are a refuge and comfort in an ever-changing and ever-decaying society. And the church is a comfort and refuge to those afflicted in conscience due to falling into sin because of the passions of their own flesh and the wiles of the evil one. Because it's in the church, in the worship of God in particular, where the people of God are reminded of the covenant promises of our Savior and the beautiful promises of forgiveness, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The strong tower of the church is the place in which Jesus exercises his office as a king. ruling and defending his people through the courts of the church against those false teachers who would lead God's people astray, and against wolves among the flock who would devour the sheep. And the church is even a place to meet the needs of and minister to people in those very particular times of physical struggle and difficulty in their lives. Through the caring hands of the deacons of the church can be a refuge to meet the physical needs of God's people. How beautiful is the church? How precious a thing the church is. A shelter of the Lord, a place of safety in the day of trouble. It's in the church that believers can receive comfort from the Lord, and in a similar way to which David experienced comfort from the Lord. And because of the comfort from the Lord, we're encouraged to give praise unto God. Look at verse 6. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Because of the refuge of God's house, the ministry of the Lord's house, David's head is lifted up with encouragement. His heart is raised in praises to God. And through his trials and tribulations, God is with him. And even though those things don't go away, though those things aren't eliminated from David's life, he is still encouraged and supported through his afflictions by the goodness that God provides. For how much better it is to experience the difficulties of life and the context of the Lord's courts than to experience them anywhere else. And so he praises the Lord. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And that's one of the things we do every time we come to worship, isn't it? We come to the Lord's house with a sacrifice of praise on our lips for who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to do in our lives, being that refuge and strength and help in a time of trouble. And even though we still experience the travails of life to one degree or another, how much better to experience them in the context of the church with the promises and people of God than anywhere else in this world. It's through this provision of God that our hearts are encouraged and sustained. How good it is of God to give us the church to shelter us in the day of trouble. And friends, one of the things that we need to remember is that these physical places of worship, these temporal experiences that we have in them and with one another as the church, as the body of Christ, these things can fail. And these things can come to an end. Our lasting hope and reliance cannot be upon particular places and particular people in this world. David was driven from the Lord's house several times. He was separated from the Lord's people numerous times. The temple was sacked and destroyed more than once. And even all that we see and experience here today, all around us in God's providence, may someday come to an end. We know that we will, at some point, come to an end. Which is why in all of this, our hope and our refuge must be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. The hope, comfort, security, refuge, and peace that David experiences is not simply from good friends or good fellowship or kindness and the encouragement of the Lord's house, but it's ultimately from the Lord himself. This is ultimately why he loves and desires the Lord's house, because as he says in verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of his life. The Lord is his shelter. The Lord is his covering. The Lord is his rock. And friends, this too is where your hope, comfort, security, refuge, and peace must be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is only he who can fully and finally deliver you from all of your troubles, all of your enemies, the world the flesh, and the devil, even death, the Lord will deliver you from them all. Because Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again from the dead to save you from your sins, your whole body and soul will be lifted up above your enemies for all eternity. And there may be many places in which you would run to find security and peace and an escape and refuge and rest in your life. But friends, there's only one place where you're truly going to find it. And that's in the one who says, "Come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's found in the one who says, "Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls." The Lord Jesus is your light and salvation. The Lord Jesus is the stronghold of your life. The Lord Jesus is your ultimate hope and refuge. And for this, brothers and sisters, let us sing and make melody to the Lord for the refuge he has provided for us. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our true refuge and strength, our light and our salvation. Lord God, may you cause us by the power of your Spirit to flee to him in our times of trouble. May we never forget the security and hope we have in our Savior Jesus. Remind us of the peace we have through him and through his shed blood and righteousness. We ask all of these things in his powerful and precious name. Amen.